All right, here we are for our roundtable, and we're going to have a fun and feisty discussion here today with with a number of friends who are at the table. So I want to welcome Greg, Alice, and Jeremy. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay, this is when, you know, I've talked on the show before when I have the awkward task, although now I usually just foist it on Catherine because she's our producer. But it used to be me, where you go and you find guests for a roundtable and you're like, hey, we're going to talk about Pride. Would you be willing to be on it? And people are like, slain, like, seriously, I'm the first person you thought of. So today we're going to talk about conflict. And obviously, you three just came to mind. So because we want to be representative of we're going to talk about conflict styles. And Greg and I were talking before we opened the mics, and he says that as a relationship expert, counselor, / PhD on all things relationships, he tends to separate them into two camps. Explain to us, Greg, kind of what we're defining here.
Yeah, usually when we do conflict, we're either going to be a fighter, so we're going to pursue that person. I want to talk this out and work this out, and we may get angry, critical, sarcastic. The bottom line is we're engaging this person. We're stepping forward. Let's talk this through. My wife and I are both fighters, so you can imagine the types of conflicts that we've gotten into. I want to defend myself and show her that she just misunderstood me. So that's why I'm a fighter. I'm engaging her to get her to see, no, that's really not me. She's engaging me to get me to really listen to her. So we can even be fighters for different reasons. But I think at the end of the day, the message is this conversation really isn't that safe because of the way that we're engaging. On the other hand, there are flighters. So these are the people who are going to withdraw, and they're going to shut down. They're going to avoid. They're going to stonewall and do passive-aggressive kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So they want to avoid the conflict, the conversation. So the message is that I don't really want to talk. And that's not safe either. So either way, it's easy to pick on the fighters going, well, whoa, hey, that's too much energy, you know, back off. But I tell you, it's equally as painful when you're shut out during conflict and that person doesn't want to engage and all they want to do is avoid. Okay. So I usually think of it in those two ways. Are you a fighter or flighter? It's not that you're going to be just one or the other, different situations, different people. Mm-hmm. I'm probably more of a flighter at work than I am a fighter. Mm-hmm. But at home, I tend to fight more with my wife.
Okay. You just get it all out there and then you can withdraw here. Okay, Alice, what about you?
I can go both ways, and I do find there's a difference at work and at home. My husband and I both tend to be aggressive. I think we're stubborn. But almost 30 years of marriage, we find that point where we both speak what's on our hearts, what's on our minds, but one of us typically will back down first and, dare I say, call the God card. You know, we need to do this the right way and make sure that we're respectful of each other. But I can be quite aggressive in my discussions.
That reminds me of my folks when they were fighting. And I still remember this. I was probably in junior high and my dad stopped and he would tend to over-spiritualize. And he was like, Dorothy, I think we need to stop and we need to pray about this. And my mom said, I do not want to pray about it. I want to fight about it.
There are times, I do have to really stop.
At it. Yeah.
It's about me.
God did send them into war at times. So.
Exactly. She had her sword drawn. So, all right, Jeremy, how about you?
Yeah, I was really enjoying Greg's comment, passive-aggressive. Is there an aggressive-aggressive?
Oh, absolutely.
Is there that sort
of fighter-fighter?
There's a fighter-fighter? Yeah, so
That person gets into fights even like when it's not even their
just
issue.
Because
they're just fighting.
They heard something and they come in the mix.
Yep.
Yeah, so I try and do it in a healthy manner, which is I try and stay respectful. I try and love on my bride. And I like to solve problems now and not let them sit for very long. And then it was really funny. Lisa made some comments before we were on the air. early
only because
on,
I know both him and his wife.
Yeah, early on, I did not do a good job of expressing or feeling certain things. So I broke a few things, which isn't a good thing. So I try my best to calm down now. I think the latest one when we were talking, my bride and I, is I have to now, when I feel a certain way, I have to walk away until I calm down. and then I'm allowed to talk to her, and then we'll see where the conversation goes. So we're testing that one out now.
Okay.
Which is a good, I mean, that actually taking a time out, as we'd call it, is really a good thing. Hard, especially as a fighter. My wife and I, neither one of us want to take a time out, but that's good. Lisa, I think for me, one of the best things I've learned about conflict, and I had no idea that this was true, that when you're reacting, so either fighting or avoiding, flighting, it's evidence that your heart has shut down. Mm-hmm. And why that matters is that when my heart closes, think of like a little roly-poly bug. So you flick that thing, it's going to roll up into this tight little ball. Our hearts do the same thing. It's all about protection. I don't feel emotionally safe or whatever. But the moment that my heart is shut down, I'm dangerous. That's when I'm more likely to say something, do something that I'll regret. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that. Mm-hmm. And you can feel it. I mean, when you're in that mode, when you're just, your blood is boiling, you're so frustrated, so hurt, just recognize that in this moment, my heart is shut down and I'm still responsible for me. And so anything that I do, any comment that I make, any attempt to resolve this, that's on me. I have to be willing to notice when my heart is shut down and then to step away to get my heart open. Mm-hmm. I think that's what in Matthew 7, where 2-5, where it says, you know, you hypocrite, why do you look at the dust in your brother's eye, pay no attention to the log? Mm-hmm. Well, it does such a great job of saying, first, deal with the log in your own eye. Mm-hmm. Then you can see clearly. And I think the parallel is that when my heart is shut down, I have no business trying to work this thing through with my wife or with this other person because it never goes well. Mm-hmm. And we get advice. Oh, you just need to hang in there. Just talk. Just sit down and calmly discuss this. You can't when your heart is shut down. Mm-hmm. That's why that was such a shift for me to get that when my heart is shut down, let me step back, pull back, and then figure out how do I get my heart back open. Then I can re-engage. But now I'm safer. My heart's open. I'm more likely to give grace and to listen and do the kinds of things that we're good at when our hearts are open.
Yeah. And I want to get a little bit into kind of what causes some of the reactions to maybe a potential conflict. I mean, you'd think that in an ideal world, we could all just sit down at a table and be like, anyway, let me share my perspective on this. And then the other person's like, oh, I totally see that and whatever.
You can when your hearts are open.
So that
usually when they're open, we do a good job people.
So that's good. Because I would say, like, for me, I have to respond. It always is helpful for me when someone initiates the conflict because, one, either I'm completely clueless, or two, I know people will say I have such a long fuse that usually by the time I am really irritated about something, then I'm like resentful.
Yeah.
And so then it's very, but I want everyone to like me. So I don't want to be the one that's like the big downer of like, well, let's just start addressing this or you hurt my feelings or whatever. I don't know how to appropriately usually state that. So I guess I would be more of a fighter, but I actually really appreciate the fighters because I'm like, okay, now they just put it on the table. Now we can actually do this, you know, and I don't have to be put in that position, which is kind of funny. But there are kind of good, to that point, there are good aspects about every conflict style. And then it just, like you said, Greg, usually when you get to the point where it's, we realize we're in it just for ourselves, or we're going to completely close off. We're going to fight only on a point, not for the relationship. That's when things get messy. But how do we recognize and maximize, leverage the good parts of conflict styles while being open to receiving kind of the feedback from other folks?
I think it's the open heart collection. We just buy a bunch of those necklaces and just wear them.
As a reminder.
Yeah.
To keep your heart open.
Right?
I'll remember that for your birthday. Or,
yeah, appreciate or, that.
No, you have to buy a small puppy and just like pet the puppy until you've calmed down. Yeah. One of those really cute ones.
Conflict is just tough. You talk about the aggression. I appreciate when someone approaches me if I'm causing a problem or, you know, misconception is so big. And oftentimes in communication, my experience with my husband has been I've said something and he's heard it differently than how I meant it. And when we can just stop and unpack that, it makes a difference. But also I've learned to pray. And I used to pray for the other person, Lord, let them hear because they're missing it, obviously.
You created him.
Right. But now it's like, Lord, okay, open my eyes, open my heart. Obviously, there's something wrong here, too, or something that I'm missing. Not necessarily wrong, but something I'm missing. It's just hard. We can be defensive as well. And I think that comes to maybe wanting to be liked. For me, I feel like, oh my gosh, I've done something wrong. I've hurt somebody. And then I don't even hear anymore what's going on. Mm-hmm. There are just a number of things in there. But I find that praying about it helps.
Mm-hmm. I like that, because even to separate out, conflict is good for a relationship. Combat is bad. Mm-hmm. So if you can begin to notice the difference, conflict, when we disagree and we work through that to listen, understand, to really get that person, that's a good thing. When in James 1:2, it says, when hard times come your way, consider that an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Conflict really is an opportunity. I get to learn something new about me, maybe something that I wasn't aware of about my wife, about this other person, or even our relationship. So it actually, conflict is a very good thing, because it's going to teach you, educate you, update you. Combat. So when we're yelling and withdrawing and we're doing the unhealthy kinds of things, see, that's where the problem is. But I associated all conflict as bad, something to avoid, never worked out. Mm-hmm. And that was a part of our early years of marriage, just were so challenging, because I would do anything and everything not to get into a conflict. But then when I was in it, then, oh, they'll let us throw down. Mm-hmm. And we really got to a point where I thought we were one more argument away from my wife leaving me. It was like literally 3 years into our marriage. Mm-hmm. So it helped me to realize that conflict is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And God will use it if we do that in a different way, a better way, a more healthier way.
Yeah, I got that the conflict was a good thing. I didn't realize that the reconciliation was also a good thing. Ooh. In thinking of the other person, you know, and neither did Sarah. So the funny thing is she took this class in college, that argumentation and advocacy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so we would joke. I said, did you ever take the reconciliation class? You know, you got that. But I like what you're saying on that, Greg, on the open heart piece especially, and that conflict is a good thing, because I can tell you every single time my heart shuts down. I can pinpoint it.
Yeah,
but
it does.
Actually be aware of that piece more than anything, to say, okay, this is the piece that I need to pause on, make sure that if that's happening, pull away. Yeah. And, you know, something that we've found that works is talking about a time frame where we're going to come back to it.
That's
you know,
the key.
Saying, hey, I need a couple hours, or I need about 15 minutes or whatever it is, so that, you know, I can go calm down and then we can come back to it.
I mean, we know physiologically when a person is stirred up, so in conflict, it can take 20 minutes for your body just to relax and return sort of to some normal baseline heart rate and everything. So you're
20
right.
20 minutes? Okay, 20 minutes.
But I tell you, though, what you're saying is the key, to say to her, but I'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know, not because I used just to leave, and Aaron would follow me around the house. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'd go into the bathroom, shut the door.
Just lock it.
And she would talk from outside the door. Mm. I'm thinking, this is marriage. Wow.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about other relationships as well, because I think a lot of single people will be like, oh, yeah, well, I'm looking forward to being married, because then I know. Well, now we have Greg's example of like where Aaron was probably going to leave him, whatever, 3 years in. So it's still a scary place.
Yeah.
But what about those relationships that you're not sure, like, you know, is this one worth preserving, or is this one like, say, I mean, the average single young adult who's having to deal with conflict with a coworker or with a boss, or like, what is an appropriate way when, you know, I mean, you go confront your boss on something, your job could be on the line, or they could peg you as a, you know, malcontent, or you could be, what's a good way to bring something up in a respectful way when you know you have to get a win-win? But it's not like there's no guarantee that person is going to stay and really dig in with you.
I've had a few different opportunities with leadership. And I find that having facts, first of all, removing emotion helps. And I've left it with prayer, quite frankly. And God, if you're calling me to this, and if I do it with respect, if I have the facts, now it's up to that person that I'm speaking with. And if I do lose my job, okay, then you're calling me to something else. But it's not flying off the handle with somebody or dealing in my anger or thinking I'm self-righteous about this. But I also have to be ready to hear something back that I've missed. So, and it's worked. I've engaged a few times where it's worked.
That's a good point.
Hmm. I find that conflict inside the workplace it works if I really do, and we'll go back to just because the Open Heart Collection is a good one, you know. But if I actually love the person in front of me and I care about them, I've screwed up a bunch of times, even with, you know, some people around the table, Lisa. and I feel like if I care about the person and truly care about the person, then I'm going to self-correct quickly if I do it wrong. And so that's where I approach it that way of I really want unity in the body, and just conflict for the sake of conflict doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So if we're going after it for the right purpose, mm-hmm. then it's worth it. And if I step over coming back and doing that very fast, because I don't want the person to brood on my mess up mm-hmm. for 5 seconds even. So going back, calming down, figuring out, okay, what did I do? How do I make this better? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly right to remind yourself that we're on the same team. Mm-hmm. We're working here. We're on the same team. You're not my adversary. Mm-hmm. See, Satan loves to create disunity. So just realize any time there's disharmony, there's conflict, he's all over that mm-hmm. because he doesn't want us to come back. So just simply, Jeremy, as you're talking about, saying that we're on the same team here, that can propel us then to be willing to then go approach that person, even if it's a boss. I think it's so critical, Lisa, to before I'm willing to confront someone, I need to get clear on what's the issue for me. Mm-hmm. Like somehow this has stirred me up. It's bothered me. Why? Mm-hmm. This isn't about them. It's about something that I'm reacting to. So I think as you sit and pray about that, say, God, yeah, search my heart. Lord, what are my anxious thoughts? What's going on within me? Mm-hmm. Then as you get clear, oh, I felt disrespected. I felt taken advantage of. I felt whatever. Mm-hmm. That something about identifying what's the real issue for you calms you down. It's mm-hmm. just, it's amazing how our body was designed to do that. Mm-hmm. And thus from that place, then you can go to that person and just share, here was my experience. You know, right or wrong, here's how I took that. I just felt really disrespectful, really whatever. Mm-hmm. But I want to check that out. I just want to make sure that I heard that right. And yeah. I think all that comes from, as you were talking about, just humility. Mm-hmm. And if you're willing to be humble, pride creates conflict, as it says in Proverbs. And so the opposite, obviously, of pride is humility. So if I'm willing to be humble to go, I could be wrong here. This is kind of what I heard. This is why this upset me. What was that really about? And genuinely, with humility, go, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Because mm-hmm. usually when we ask someone, what was that? What was going on? What happened? Mm-hmm. And they're usually the conclusions that we've jumped to are so wrong. Yeah. They're so off.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I've heard you often say this too, Greg, about the value of keeping short accounts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like, and actually Greg's wife, Erin, did this with me. We were in a meeting together and she just like not long after the meeting was over texted me about something that just she felt she wanted to get clarity on because she was like, you know, you said this and it kind of hurt my feelings and stuff. And what was funny is that I had no idea that I would have said would have hurt her feelings, but I was ready to offer something else that I was pretty sure had hurt her feelings. And she's like, no, it wasn't that. So it was really funny that we had the opportunity. But I credit her for that because she was the one who was willing to step up and say, whoa, I want to solve this right now. Because the last thing you want to do is get in a conflict with someone and be like, remember 6 years ago when we were on that work trip and you were, I mean, seriously, come on now. Because by then you've painted all kinds of worst case scenarios that are not helpful.
That's where I keep screwing up with my wife. I have a log.
A log. How's that working for you?
Yeah, it's not working well.
Well, it's funny even because I used to work with his wife, and I still remember one example that she and I had because I'm an extremely bottom line person, and I'm very like, okay, you know, kind of like if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and I'm all about efficiency. And I remember I was correcting something in something she'd written, and she came back to me, and she's like, so I think it would be really valuable if maybe you just sandwich your words. So maybe say something really positive and then tell me what I need to change and then maybe finish it with a positive. And for me, I was just like, that is like so efficient. Like what right. in the world? Like why
Suing
would I?
Words.
Let's just get, yeah. let's yeah. fix what needs to be fixed. Right. But it was so hilarious because I was like, the minute I started doing that, all of a sudden it was like very life-giving for her and she felt so affirmed and it made it very easy for her to shore up you know, the weaknesses and work on stuff.
Yeah, that's why our joke between us is I've gotten finally to an open face sandwich.
Okay.
I've got to close
the sandwich. I know,
I'm like,
are you even sandwiching, Jeremy? Yeah. You got to try.
I got to get that last piece of bread on top of there.
But you talk about the importance of words, and it is true. And you were saying, I feel, versus coming out and saying, well, you did this or you do that. Yeah. I've learned the benefit. Instead of being an attacker, you bring it back. This, because it is only what I feel or what I've perceived, and it opens that dialogue.
Well, and for people that think that sounds so fake, just get over it. Because honestly, like, doing that stuff really works. I mean, it is like, it seems really weird, but it's just like, I remember telling a friend one time, this is putting myself in the worst light, people. Please do not replay this show that many times.
With making a friend, your ringtone.
I was so justice oriented that she basically, something I did or that she assumed I did hurt her feelings, but it actually didn't happen that way. And I remember going to her and saying, I hope you do not think I'm going to apologize because I am not wrong here. Okay, that did not set us off on a good foot at all, because she burst into tears and ran away, and I was just mad. And it actually took a lot of cleanup for us to do. When it was just like, I could have easily said something like, I am so sorry, you know, that this has gone down this way, or been, you know, and work later on what actually happened and who. But I was so determined that I was not going to be in the wrong, because I did not do anything wrong. She misinterpreted that. And at that point, it really doesn't matter, because clearly, people are going to interpret how they want to interpret.
Well, another point that you're making is how important it is within relationships to understand this other person's style.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because if you're a fighter, if you like directness, and it's going to be your tendency to be super direct and use as few words as necessary, or Jeremy, as you were talking about with your wife, I mean, observing, understanding that boy, to share this, I need to provide some positives as well as whatever I'm sharing. And again, usually we're marrying someone who's very opposite, or in a relationship with someone who's very opposite of who we are. We're attracted to that. So just be aware, how's this person, what is their style, how do they like, you know, to get feedback and those kinds of things.
Right. I've also found that, like, being able to move on past the conflict is really helpful too. So like you say, you know, okay, we're going to dig into this, we're going to deal with it. But then once you have, then it's like, let's go grab some coffee, or let's grab ice cream. Don't make it about, like, we just had to deal with this big conflict and that's the sum of our relationship, you know, but show, you know, come around the backside with love for that person and be like, yeah, we're cool, you know, and there are a million things that I respect about you. And it's not just about what we just went through, you know, and all the nuttiness that will probably come up again in about one day, you know. So awesome. Guys, thanks so much. I think this is a great springboard. Folks out there, if you're listening, we want you to hop over to our blog and comment about your own conflict style, as well as, you know, just what's problematic about everyone else's. and if you just need to air some grievances, you know, do it on the blog and then use some weird, like, passive, you know, handle for someone else, you know, that you want to address. No, do not do that. That's terrible. Maybe I've tried that in the past. So anyway, but go to show 549. You will find the blog post there, and we want to hear your comments. So thanks, you guys, for being willing to get kind of dirty about your own stuff.
Thank you.